Hey, Soundcheck podcast listeners, John here. Are you a musical know-it-all? Of course you're not. Would you like to be? Well, we all have blind spots in our musical knowledge, and we'd like to start filling some of them. So tell us what you'd like to be smarter about. Give us a call at 866-939-1612 or email us soundcheck@wnyc.org. It's for our upcoming project called How to Be Smarter About... dot, dot, dot. So give us the dot, dot, dot. Soundcheck@wnyc.org or 866-939-1612.
Tell me, what am I bound for disaster? What if I fall off the cliff? Will I ever just learn how to live and not wonder what if?
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Broadway fans have followed Idina Menzel for years. She originated the role of Maureen in Rent and Elphaba in the musical Wicked. But the Tony Award-winning actress became a household name after being the voice of Queen Elsa in the 2013 Disney film Frozen and singing the top 10 hit song Let It Go. Now, Idina Menzel is back on Broadway in the musical If Then. And today, Idina Menzel, along with the composer, Tom Kitt, are here with me in the Soundcheck studio, and they're going to start us off with a live performance of the song You Learn to Live Without from the musical If Then, live on Soundcheck.
You learn to take your coffee black. You learn to drink your whiskey neat. You learn to take the shower cold and sleep on tired feet. You learn to order dinner in. You learn to send the laundry out. You learn how to amuse yourself. You learn to live without. You tell yourself you're rich at last in money and in time. You draw a bath and then unplug the phone. You pour yourself a Pinot Clos Duval 2003. Tears and not to count the deadly days as they fade into years. You learn to stand alone at last, so brave and bold and strong and stout. You learn somehow to like the dark and even love the down. You learn to hold your life inside you and never let it out. You learn to live without.
You learn to live without.
That is Idina Menzel live on Soundcheck and Tom Kitt live at our piano with the song You Learn to Live Without. It comes from the musical If Then, which is playing now at the Richard Rogers Theater. The If Then original cast recording is now out. But Idina and Tom, good to have the two of you here with us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Idina, let's start with just a kind of a practical question. There is a full cast on If Then.
Yes.
But you're singing for like 75-80% of this show.
True, Tom? I don't know. Tom wrote all the music. I think,
a lot.
I sing a lot.
So, you know, that must have taken, that's a real kind of athletic feat, you know?
I like that you use that word. That's how I think of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a voice teacher I've had for many, many, many years, ever since college. And, you know, we found our way to kind of learn how to build endurance and pace myself. And I warm up all the time. And then the more I sing, as long as I'm singing in a healthy, technically healthy way, then actually the stronger I get, as long as I don't get sick.
Well, now, that was going to be my next question. What happens if you get sick?
You make some bad sounds in front of a lot of people.
But there must be an understudy, right? There's some cover
for it? Yes,
there's
a wonderful understudy, yeah. Her name's Jackie Burns. But, you know, we don't like her to go on too much. I'm just kidding. There's an understudy, but, you know, there's a huge responsibility when your name's above the title, which is this is the first time for me that that's actually happened. So it's really hard for me to not go on. I got sick one time, and it's just my dedication and my pride and my just desire to do the show whenever and however I can sometimes
gets the best of you.
Yes, and then I get out there and I wish I didn't.
Well, now you're playing two versions of this character Elizabeth, mm-hmm. and you know she's got a decision to make. It seems like a very minor decision, but it's mm-hmm. sort of like, you know, the butterfly flapping its wings
exactly.
that causes a tornado in Oklahoma or whatever
yeah.
it is. So it's all the spin-offs of this. And she becomes Liz in one story.
Uh-huh. Her name's Elizabeth. And in one story, she feels more connected to Liz, the other Beth. And she's sort of, you know, I don't know. I think of her as one soul with two different experiences mm-hmm. that we're following and how the circumstances of her life affect who she becomes.
And does the music sort of, you know, parallel the different stories? I mean, Tom,
yes.
when you guys were writing the music, does Liz's music have maybe a different cast, a different sound from Beth's music?
Well, I did try to create two specific themes for the two tracks. When they start out, you hear them in the overture before the show begins. And since they're coming from the same person, they wanted to have a similarity to them. But I find one has a little more of a searching romantic quality to signify which character is going to meet the guy mm-hmm. early on. And another one is sort of a little more life choice and career quality to me. But, you know, it's really about the events in their life that shape the kinds of songs and the moods they're in.
But it's so multi-layered what he's done with the music. And it's probably for some people on a subconscious level, maybe for other musicians, they'd really hear it. But there's just so many layers there. It helped me as an actor as well. It's that sometimes there's not as much work as you think, because if I just sort of float on top of what he has, you know, he speaks to me, sort of tells me the core, what Beth is feeling in this or Liz. And I offered to sing Beth as an operatic singer and Liz as a jazz singer, but we thought that was too on the nose.
Well, now that sort of gets to another interesting thing about If Then, which is, now, Tom, it's you and Brian Yorkie,
yes.
the lyricist, and you guys have won a Pulitzer Prize for doing Next to Normal.
Mm-hmm.
How early on was Idina involved in the kind of creation of this?
Idina was on board very early. We knew after Next to Normal that Brian and I wanted to do our next project with Michael Greif, and David Stone talked to us about doing our next show. And we were floating around different ideas. And when If Then came to David, David said, well, actually, Idina and I have been talking about doing something. And I think this might be something she would be interested in. And as soon as that came to us, we thought that would be a dream come true to work with her.
So that gives you the opportunity not just to write in a vacuum, but to know the major character, the major actor for whom you're writing.
Yes, it's very helpful. It's very daunting when you have a talent like Idina Menzel to do her justice, and it is. You want to write?
Snorted.
I know you did, and I
think we all heard that, Idina.
But you do. It's you want to really do justice to that gargantuan instrument, and certainly for me, I even have memories, pictures of me sitting at the piano, hearing her voice in my head as I was writing the first songs.
So, Idina, it's another character that you were the original Maureen in Rent, mm-hmm. and Elphaba in Wicked, and here you are creating this kind of dual character mm-hmm. here. I mean, is that something that you set out to do, or have you just gotten really, really lucky?
Both. Definitely both. I think Rent was my first professional job, and it was an original musical, and I was involved pretty early on, and I saw how wonderful a process and experience, what a wonderful process it is to stand by the piano with Jonathan Larson at the time, and I learned just how incredibly grateful an actor could be to stand there and sort of be invited into these artists' sanctuary, you know, and have them doing their creative thing. So I always knew what an honor it was to be a part of that. And then it happened again years later with Wicked. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten lucky, but also I try to seek out working with people on brand new material. It just takes a lot longer. You know, people say, why haven't you come back to Broadway in so long? These things take a while to really develop and, you know,
and you're there in the process of the creation of the songs and the story.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Know. I mean, they have their space. I'm not hanging over them or anything. But as soon as he has something he's excited about, he comes and we go to the piano and we try it out. And mm-hmm. you know, and I think there's the chicken or the egg sometimes. You yeah. know, and that's what's so lovely about it.
Now it is the role of Elizabeth, this kind of dual role. It's fairly emotional, you know. You seem to be kind of emotionally invested in it.
Uh-huh.
Is it tough to do that night after night?
Yes. Yes. But you start to, I don't know if it's the creature of 8 shows a week or what it is, but you learn a way to protect yourself. And you learn a way to that your body feels it when the lights are on and the music starts. And you also learn that when you walk off, you can go call your son and laugh mm-hmm. with your castmates about something funny that happened. And I wouldn't be able to survive if I had to do that all day long and be entrenched in the character.
Yeah.
So, but at first it's not like that. At first you have to find those things. Then they start to click in because you do them every day.
Now, so we follow Liz and we follow Beth through their parallel but different life courses. And it all hinges on, you know, who she goes with. Does she go with mm-hmm. this person, or does she go over there and listen to the guitarist, you know,
right.
follow the career, follow the music?
Yeah.
We, on Soundcheck, about a year ago, had the author Lori Carson on, and she had written a book called The Original 1982
mm-hmm.
about a woman who has the same choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does she have a kid, or does she follow a musical career? And it seems like, you know, especially for women, that this is often like a choice that somebody faces.
I've faced it. I continue to face it, you know. That's why when you talk about these dual character, I know that is what it seems, but it's for me, or for most women, I think it's just different parts of the spectrum that we're highlighting to tell a story about. You know, I mean, they're all me. They're all of us. And yes, I've struggled with putting off having a child, worried that it would distract me from my ambition and my career. And then I realized once I had a child how that enriched my life and me as an artist and as a woman. And it's constant, the balancing motherhood now with my performing and my career and the guilt that I'm constantly slaying myself with. And it's just – but it's wonderful to have a role, a show that I can at least go and assess those things mm-hmm. and work through them on stage. I'm very lucky.
Now, the other thing is the moment of choice. You don't always know when that is.
Exactly,
you know, sometimes
yeah.
it takes a few years and you look back and say, oh, that's where.
If I would have picked up the phone, yeah.
So is there a moment in your career where, you know, looking back on it now, you say that was the moment where I made the decision that set me on this path?
I guess Rent is one of those moments for me because Michael Greif is our director from MIFDEN, and he's the one that really discovered me 18 years ago, whenever it was. And I was also really, I wanted to be a singer-songwriter rock star at the time, and I didn't think I wanted to go into theater, even though as a kid, that's all I listened to. I just didn't know who I was and what to do with my voice and my artistic identity, you know. But I went in anyway, and then I met him, and then here we are today, just mm-hmm. continuing to work on these projects. And it's not just about the projects; it's about the support system and the family. And the, you know, the older you get, you realize it's more about the people you spend your time with, and who you pick to teach you and to challenge you. And so I'm just so glad that I made that decision to go in that day to that audition.
You ever wonder what would have happened if the decision had gone the other way, if you decided not to?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we think about a lot in this show is, if you didn't make that decision, would it still come back around? What is meant to be? Yeah. What is destined? What is all just chance and some statistics, life statistics, mm-hmm. you know, the probability of? And I believe deep in my heart, I'm not a very religious person, but I do feel that things, maybe it would take me a longer journey or I'd come back around. However, you know, you have to learn these lessons. You have to experience these things in your life to be prepared for the next door to open. And whichever way that works out, it would have some sense to it.
Idina Menzel and Tom Kidd here with me in the Soundcheck studio. The musical If Then is playing now at the Richard Rodgers Theater. And Tom, without giving anything away, what Idina is just talking about, the idea that, you know, things will come around mm-hmm. at some point, you know, that the universe will revolve if it's meant to and put you in a certain place, it does become part of the storyline of If Then, right?
Yeah, that was one of the central themes that Brian and I talked about when we first decided we were going to write this. The central question of are you meant to meet the person of your dreams? Are you meant to meet the love of your life? And Brian, I think, hilariously says that from time to time, if it's a musical, the answer is yes.
Otherwise, you don't have much of a musical,
exactly.
do you? All right. Brian Yorkie is the lyricist, and Tom Kidd, of course, wrote the music. So do you guys want to do another song for us?
Sure.
All right. So Tom's going to make his way back to the piano, and Idina Menzel to the microphone. The song is called Some Other Me, and, of course, you'll find it on the original cast recording of If Then, which is out now. If Then is playing now at the Richard Rodgers Theater. We'll hear both Idina Menzel and Tom Kitt in this song called Some Other Me, live on Soundcheck.
Somewhere there's a world where you and I are man and wife. We have a child. We're three, and it's just fine with me to love that life. And somewhere there's a world where from the first we never met, we never spoke or kissed. We don't know what we missed or don't know. To Smith or Yale or Brown, I ended up in Boston or some small Alaska town to practice law or neuter cats or fish the Bering Sea. Those lives are lived somewhere by some other me. Some other me is homeless. Some other me is queen. Some other me has seen things. If I met her, I would ask her that one question we both fear, some other me. How do we end?
to me who never loved that other you who liked your fine, I guess, as buddies, more or less. And that would do. And somewhere there's a you who simply worshipped other me, and we were wild and hot, and all the things were not, and we were free. And somewhere I'm the president with plans that never fail, and somewhere I'm a rebel king, and somewhere I'm in jail. I didn't chase my glory days long after they were done. I found myself a woman or a man and had a son. Some other me's a rock star, some other me's still cool, some other me does not feel like some tired old fool. And you and I are strangers, or we're lovers, or we're not the other me's. Live with what they've got.
Look down each road left untaken.
Trace every turn and twist.
The lives that we just let go by.
The dreams we might have missed.
Now we're old enough to know that one road ends where one begins. The moment where the what might be turn into might have been.
Somewhere there's a world where you and I can still be friends, not like we were, not yet. We forgive but don't forget. No happy ends, but
Some Other Me is the name of the song from the musical If Then, with lyrics by Brian Yorkey and music by Tom Kitt. Idina Menzel singing live here in the Soundcheck studio. Tom Kitt doing some singing, too.
Isn't he amazing?
He did pretty well. That's Anthony Rapp's part, right?
That is, yes.
So that's who sings it on the original cast recording, but Tom's singing it here in the studio. Not bad for a Tony and Pulitzer Prize winning musician and pianist and composer. Now, the two of you and the rest of the crew on If Then had a somewhat unusual problem. And as problems go, this is a good one to have. This is like, where am I going to put all this beer? It's
right.
That, you know, with Idina now drawing in so many fans, Tom, especially mm-hmm. younger ones, you guys have written a very adult show here.
Ah, mm-hmm. interesting question.
So how do you... I mean, Idina, you look out in the audience and you see, you know, a row of 10-year-old girls, and you're singing a song whose title could be reduced to WTF.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
Well, they actually say the certain age. I forget what it is.
I think it's 12. I think we say 12 and up for the show.
Well, you say that, but...
No, but really, there are not many little girls in blue dresses sitting out in If Then.
It's a wonderful problem to have that so many people want to come see Idina and come see the show. I actually brought my 9-year-old to the mm-hmm. invited dress because it's funny how when you're a parent, you find yourself clinging to your child for support much more than your child actually clings to you. And I wanted him there that night. And what he got, he got. I'm not saying bring 9-year-olds, but the show resonates. And I think we wrote it not knowing that Frozen was going to be what it was.
We also have found, not to denigrate the older people that come, but the younger people are very smart and with it, and they get a lot of stuff, and they enjoy the puzzle, putting the puzzle together of the show. Maybe because... I don't know why, but it's turned out
because
to not
they're
be
young,
as much.
Because they're young, because they're not beaten down by life.
It's also with all the technology today, the kind of puzzle pieces of the show, I think, are attractive to people whose minds are thinking that way and have had grown up with that kind of technology as well.
But it's not as much of a problem. Actually, when I do my concerts, my private concerts, that's when I worry more because, you know, people will come to bring their kids to hear Let It Go, and I'm 43 years old, and I've got stories to tell, you know, that aren't necessarily appropriate, and I don't know how to do it so that I'm respectful but also true to myself.
Right. So the fanzels, as they're known, your enormous army of fans, they come to these concerts as well?
Yeah, but the fanzels could be, you know, 30-year-old women, guys now, you know, they're from Rent back
right,
then.
That's true.
So it depends on what generation you're talking about, and that's what I'm so proud of, and what I feel so grateful for is that each project has been in a decade, so that people come back, and as they have children, then they bring them. And
so, what you're saying is there are now three generations of
fans. Yeah, so that when I'm
there.
70, I'll still have a musical someone will want to write for me.
I'll write that musical.
We're speaking with Idina Menzel and Tom Kitt, star and composer, respectively, of the Broadway musical If Then, playing now at the Richard Rodgers Theater. Idina, what kind of name is that, Idina? I-D-I-N-A. I've never seen
it's
that.
Obviously a name that doesn't get pronounced very easily.
Has not been heard on Oscar night all that often.
Not really, no. it's an Israeli name, a Hebrew name. It means gentle. I'm not Israeli. I'm Jewish.
Are you
and
gentle?
My mom, and I can be very gentle. Yeah, it depends who you ask, I guess. Yeah, and I was named after my great-grandmother, Ida. And my mom, in Jewish religion, when someone passes, you name after, use the first letter. And
right.
So, but we don't, my mother, my whole life, said it's not Idina, it's Idina, a short I. But, you know, if anyone, everyone in Long Island that I grew up with calls me Idina. So if I hear someone call me on the street from behind, they say it like that, I know it's someone from high
school.
From school,
mm-hmm. yeah. So how does a good Jewish girl from Long Island end up doing a Christmas album?
All the good Jews do Christmas albums.
That's true.
That's
true.
Just a time-honored tradition.
True.
Yes, that's what I've told myself. Barbara did one.
Barry Manilow.
Yes, and Irving Berlin, right? And all these amazing writers. And so I told myself it's okay. I am going to have a little bit of... I told myself it's okay. And I'm enjoying making it. These are the most beautiful songs. The melodies are incredible. Yeah. You know,
this is what people don't generally understand about Christmas albums is they're not made at Christmas time. They're made
in
the heat of
90-degree
the
weather.
Summer.
Yeah.
So you're doing it now?
And a good Jewish girl from Long Island likes to make a Christmas tree. Now, it might not be that many colors. It might be all, you know, white lights with, you know, it's very color coordinated. And a Jewish American princess's Christmas tree. But I still do the tree.
Okay.
In my house.
So you're in the midst of this project right now?
I am, yes. And I've had fake snow and snowflakes put into the studio so that I could, you know, really evoke the feeling. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But,
I would have believed you. You're in this bright red shirt that looks like you, you know, just,
know,
you just need the white beard for that.
I have to say I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun to do. And I'm lucky that I, you know, that someone wants to put it out for me this year.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be later this year?
Yes.
Presumably around Christmas time.
You never know.
Speaking of red shirts, you can actually see Idina and Tom, what they've been performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio, because we've been shooting video today, and that'll
right.
be coming to the website in a couple of days. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll let you know when. Idina Menzel, Tom Kitt, it has been a lot of fun having you guys here with us in the
Thank
studio.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm not one for fortunes, nor wishing on a star. And I've studied all the stories and what our chances are. And my heart starts beating faster.
That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.
Oh, here I go. Now I know all the motions, the steps to every dance. And I count cards at the table. I never bet on chance. I leave nothing to the gods.